Coming up, we got a great phone for you for review. We've also got some headphones. Jan will be here. We'll take a look at an audio streamer. And Shannon's got her review of the new Acer S7. It's all coming up next. Time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, visit audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Before You Buy.
Yippa dippa doopa doopa doo. Rapoo. Scoobily up, boobity boobity badoo.
Before You Buy is on the air, the show where we take all the great new products and we parcel them out to various members of the TWiT staff for review. And we've got some really interesting computers, some weird devices, some headphones. But let's start off with phones. We always like to take a look at the newest Android devices. Ayaz Akhtar, host of TNT and TWiT's Know How, has a review of the latest Samsung Galaxy Express.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar with TWiT, and this is the Samsung Galaxy Express that runs on the AT&T network. One of the first things about this phone is it is an LTE phone. So if you're in that coverage area, you should get some really fast speeds if you can get AT&T LTE. You can see it's got a pretty big screen, a 4.5-inch screen with a resolution of 800 by 480. It's got a 1.3-megapixel camera on the front and a 5-megapixel camera on the back. So this is a pretty light phone. It's about 5 ounces. It's actually 4.8 ounces. And as it's a Samsung, you can replace the battery if you want. You can see the battery, there's the SIM, and the micro SD card slot for expansion. This is running Android 4.0 Ice Cream Sandwich. And as it's a Samsung phone, it's got the TouchWiz UI overlay. So if you like that, you're going to like this phone. If you don't like that, you can always switch the launcher to something else. So Samsung's preloaded a bunch of apps, but the biggest one's got to be S Voice. It's that personal assistant you could use if you want to do things like call people or find out the weather. You can use S Voice. Look at that. It's actually got all the things I was just yammering on about right there. It's not a command, though. So thankfully, S Voice is confused because I'm not making any sense. What's the weather like? So as you can see, it's not exactly perfect. You're going to have to mess around with this some if you want, but it's available because it's a Samsung phone. Now, like I said, it's running TouchWiz, which is that layer that Samsung likes to put on its phones. You can just mess around with it all you want. The response is really snappy on this device. Touchscreen, very good. Got to say, I enjoy the way it performs. I'm a big fan of running stock Android on there, so I found a launcher that's pretty much Ice Cream Sandwich, or actually Jelly Beans launcher, very similar to what I'm used to. So we're going to mess around with this, and it runs really fast. Let's go to my gallery and see what's going on. So the camera on this device is a 5-megapixel camera. It does a good job. Hey, look, it's my keys. Take a picture of my keys. It's focused. It takes like a second. Not too bad. I want to take photos. I found it to be quite good at taking photos. See, look. When it's brightly lit, works out pretty good. You can see this display is very, very bright. It's an AMOLED screen. And look, it's a cup on a scale. Time for the pros and cons. This thing's running a dual-core Qualcomm 1.5 gigahertz processor, which means this thing is really snappy and responsive. I got to say, the screen is really bright. I do enjoy that. I could see it in brightly lit areas. And the camera, I found the quality of pictures to be quite good. On the con side, I've got to say, for a display this large, the resolution is a little bit too low. I had to turn the fonts to the smallest size to fit as much data as I wanted on there. It might be bright, but there's not a whole lot of things you can see at one time because it's 800 by 480. There's also that TouchWiz UI. If you like that, it's a pro. If you're me, you really don't like it, but then again, you can always get rid of it. On top of that, it's not the latest Android. It's running Ice Cream Sandwich by default and not Jelly Bean, so that kind of knocks it down a peg. So, is the Galaxy Express a try, don't buy, or buy? Gotta say, it's definitely a try. It only costs about a penny if you go to Amazon. That's really cheap. This is a really powerful phone for what you get. I gotta say that if you want a decent phone, this is quite good. It's not the latest and greatest smartphone out there, but it's pretty powerful, pretty cheap, and it does have LTE if you can get it at AT&T. I'm Aya Zaktar, and this was the Galaxy Express.
He says that as if he's going to blend it any minute now. This was the Express. Thank you, Ayaz. Ayaz is the host of TNT, our daily news show, Tech News Today, every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the TWIT Network. Also here right now, my producer and the host of OMG Craft, Mr. Chad Johnson.
Hey, Chad. How you doing, Leo?
You've got headphones.
I do. So I have headphones from M-Moda. These are sort of a high-end celebrity style, high-style.
What do you mean celebrity?
Beats would be celebrity style? Yeah. And so these really don't have a celebrity attached to them,
right.
but they're sort of in that same market of as Beats. It's more of a stylish headphone, yeah. And it's more of a new headphone that would be used to listen to something with a lot of bass and a lot of high end. So I have two headphones. I have the M100s and the V80s. So let's start off with the M100s. The M100s are these over-the-ear style headphones. They have a really, really nice construction, leather on the top, leather on the pads inside the headphone. The drivers are really, really large. I believe it's 55-millimeter drivers. And you can also take it comes with two headphone wires, and these can be detached from the headphone. And you actually You actually have two ports to choose, and then they give you this little stopper on the other side to make sure that you're not losing any audio out of one of the holes if it's not plugged in.
Now, come on, you're joking. They don't leak audio.
Well, based off of
it's like a port in the
Fidelity blogs. Yeah, they were excited.
Block
that,
it off.
Yeah, you can. Block
I like
that
it. You
off,
can put it on either side because
right.
I'm a lefty, and sometimes or depending on your laptop, maybe you have the wire on the left, but you don't want it to come in on the right because then it would have to cross you. So that's a nice
feature. Right. I really like that feature a lot.
Yeah.
And then also the whole sort of system, when you buy it, it comes with a leather, it's not leather, it's like a faux leather case. You have some extra wires in here that are kind of attached, inside of these nice springy.
This is common in these high-end headphones
now. And so like this has a splitter built in the end of the headphone.
Two people could listen to the same movie.
Two people could listen to the same thing. Yeah. It's just kind of a nice feature. And this one doesn't have a mic built in, but this one has a mic built in as well as a function button for your Android.
So you could use this as a device.
Exactly.
I mean, as a headphones for an iPhone.
Yeah. And then it also comes with, they really did cover their bases in sort of nice accessories that come with the headphone. As far as quality of the headphone, the audio quality is something that you would expect from one of these sort of contemporary or new style headphone. There's a lot of high end and a lot of bass, and the mids aren't really cared about nearly as much.
It's what we used to call loudness.
Yes.
It's a profile that makes it sound better, especially at low levels, but isn't accurate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Brian may have, there's a few blogs that actually have equipment for testing this, and you can see the wave.
The graph.
Yeah,
There you go.
You can see at the end of
a lot of bass response.
A lot of bass response, and in the middle it dips down, and near the end you get some nice highs right there. But this is, this is what you would expect from this type of headphone. And what that translates into when you're listening to music is if you're listening to something that's like techno or hip hop, that's going to have a lot of bass, it's going to sound really, really good. And that's nice. If you're going to listen to something like jazz or vocals,
classical, you don't want cellos to sound louder than the violas.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. So this headphone just shouldn't be used for that type of listening
experience.
It's
listening to pop music probably mostly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And rap.
And that is about it. The other thing is that these headphones come with these really cool detachable plates. And also you can detach this top part here. So if you want to, you can style these headphones however you want. You can remove this plate. You can buy extra plates on their website. And you can even custom brand your plates by sending them a Photoshop or an Illustrator file. Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's neat.
So if I wanted to have spent the I forget the cost, but if I wanted to spend some money, I could have the Twit logo printed on this. Maybe I'm a DJ that has a specific logo for, you know, my career, my branding. I could have that added to the headphone, which I really like.
Neat.
Another thing is that these do collapse up, and it comes in this nice case, and the case has a carabiner. It's just a really nice, it's a pretty portable solution for an over-the-ear headphone. And that's about it for the M100. So let's move on to the...
Do you want to do pros and cons separately or do them for
all at once? Let me go ahead and do some pros and cons on this. The pros are that the great construction. I mean, I really feel like these are a sturdy, sturdy headphone. Also, the replaceable covers for your own branding, if you just want them to be red instead of black, that's really, really nice. And then also that it is portable. I like the fact that it could close up and transfer with me anywhere. On the cons, the mic quality on this line is pretty bad. And when I get to the V80s, I'm going to play a little clip of the mic quality just to show off that it wasn't good enough for me. Maybe a user watching this will be fine. This mic quality will be fine for them. But for me, it was a con. Also, these are a little bit tight on my head. After wearing them for a few hours, it felt a little bit compressing my head. That may be
you have a giant head.
I do. I do.
Do you really?
No, I don't actually.
You have a lot of hair.
That may actually be a pro for some users, especially if you're a DJ,
right?
Because you can move quite a bit with just one ear on and one ear off, and it's not going to come off your head. But for a long listening experience, it did become uncomfortable for me just pushing my ears into my head. And then the other con would be that this is kind of for listening to one type of music. If you're a fan of that music, then it's not really that big of a con for you. So that's the M100s. Now, the V80s, let's move this over. These V80s are actually styled and branded as True Blood headphones. So if
this cracks me up. I'm a big fan. I love this show.
If you're a fan
of HBO's, makes these, is it just the red lining?
So you get the red lining, you get a little True Blood logo right
here.
This
is the vampire show on HBO that is quite good.
And right. You can even buy shields that have like Fantasia, you know, on
favorite bar.
Right.
Wait a minute. Here we have some.
Oh, look, we even have
Fantasia.
A True Blood sticker. This
actually, that's
Liz.
From Get Glue, though.
Yeah,
right?
It's from Get Glue. Right. But okay. But you know, we can put it. We
that's
can go
hysterical.
Ahead
and it looks like it's got blood dripping.
Oh yeah. So yeah, it has a few. It's all in the accents,
really
right?
Creepy.
So
oh,
here,
dear.
This is from Liz.
Oh,
this is
dear,
from Get Glue.
Oh, dear,
I'll just go
dear.
Ahead and put that on my case. It has some funny things like there's like a little blood vial in this right here, you know, and this is like a fake you know leather, but it's
is this
cool.
The only TV show that they do this with,
this
or
is
there a variety?
This
it's
is
like for some
that
reason,
yeah. I
just decided
not,
that's the one, huh?
Right? Exactly. Now the inside of this case is a little different from the M100s. It has these little things that kind of come out with Velcro, and I actually really like this case better than the M100s. Not to say that the M100 case was bad.
What are those things for?
So what I could easily do is wrap up this cord, set it inside.
Little pouches storing stuff,
and
it secures the phones
in.
A little bit better.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And
you know, it is more of a form-fitting case.
It really
is.
Okay. I just like this. The case is a little bit better than...
Are they essentially the same headphones?
It's a little bit of a different driver. These are a little bit more open than... Mm. So you... These may be used a little bit more for listening to something with higher mids, but essentially they're aiming for the same market. So now a difference is that they only have one plug on the bottom. You can't switch between left and right on your plug, and the accessory wire does not have a splitter on the end, and it also does not come with the larger jack connector this is not included with the is V80s. So, basically, it's around the same. They are definitely smaller. They're not really over the ear. They're sort of on the ear. And they have some nice design quirks with the True Blood branding. So, the pros and cons for the V80 is that the pros, let's start with the pros, is that, yes, it has is booming bass from even from these smaller factor cups. And these are a little bit more comfortable just because they're not quite as tight on my head. And you can see, you know, just in resting position, they're not squeezing. But with the M100s, they are pressed up against each other. And then the other thing is that I just like the case a little bit better than the M100s. On the cons, once again, the mic quality is not that great, and there's only an area for a right line. Now, let's get back onto the mic quality, because I recorded a video using my computer to show off what the mic sounds like for each of these. It's just, it's a really short clip.
Okay, so this is a test of the microphone of the V80. This mic right there. This is how this sounds. Now let's switch to the internal mic on the computer.
This is the internal mic on the computer, so just sort of a comparison of what a standard sort of low-quality mic might sound like. Now let's move on to the M100s.
And this is the audio from the M100s. Should be that mic right there. So just, you know, you guys decide for yourself if this quality isn't good enough for you.
On a Skype call, the second that I put these headphones on, people were like, what is wrong
what
with your audio?
You? Yeah.
So that's why it was a con for me, is that it really wasn't. On a phone call, you're right, that audio quality isn't going to come through. But if you're on a computer or on a Skype call, that will be pretty obvious.
So, and did you say how much?
Oh, okay. That is something that I missed.
Because that's kind of a con.
With
and
Beats,
I mean that in every respect.
Yes. Beats kind of started this with in this
premium
market.
Premium price.
This is a very premium product.
Yeah.
For the V80s, this is...
The True Blood headphones.
For the True Blood headphones.
Which could double for Dexter headphones if you don't look too close.
Sure, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Blood is blood,
blood
right?
Blood is blood.
These are $230...
Okay.
Retail.
So it's fairly pricey.
You may be able to find a street price for less.
Yeah.
For the M100s, $310.
Yeah. Now, good headphones, I got to say, good headphones cost that much. The question is what is a good headphone to you? And to me, audio quality is number one. And these don't sound like they're super high quality audio.
No. They do sound good. So
for hip hop and modern.
So my recommendation is try.
Right.
Because... truly, try out these headphones and see if the music that you listen to, if you feel like this is good quality, go into a store, try these out.
Yeah.
Make sure that you would be happy. If you want a really high quality headphone, I would suggest them, but it's not a solid app. And truly, there isn't a headphone that is going to cover everything. It's
you're
just
buying
not
it
possible.
Also for the features.
Right.
I do think what's happened is that the headphone category, people realize that people can't tell the difference between good headphones and bad headphones, and that you could sell fairly inaccurate headphones for the same price that you'd sell highly accurate headphones.
Right.
Because most people have been listening to iPod earbuds for so long, they don't know.
Right. And if you have
it's better than earbuds,
this will be a huge upgrade.
Big upgrade. Thank you, Chad. OMG Chad hosts OMG Craft now twice weekly. I'm very happy to say. When does that start?
April. In April.
All right, good.
April 2nd will be the first episode.
And it's going to be a bit of a change to the show. He's
he's
building his set right now.
Yep.
I see poster paints on your
desk. Out of Minecraft box.
Thank you, Chad. He also produces Twit, Mac Break Weekly, This Week in Google, and is a much valued producer. Speaking of valued producers, you may not know Josh Windisch too well. He's one of our newest employees. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
Good to see you. Welcome to Before You Buy.
Thank you.
You've seen Josh and his parrot on many of our other... No, it's a parakeet.
No, it's a parrot. It's a
parrot.
Lovebird.
It's a little lovebird.
Yes.
Named
a little adorable
Lucy.
Lovebird named Lily.
Lily.
Actually.
Oh, I'm thinking... Oh, you're Josh Windisch.
Yes,
I was
yes.
thinking of the other Josh. No, I know who
with
you
the bird.
With the bird.
With the bird,
named
yes.
Lucy. Josh is a producer for the Tech Guy show. In fact, does our website and does a great job and does a lot of editing.
TechGuyLabs.com. Go answer questions.
Yes. Are we getting many comments over there?
It's building. You know, the older episodes are getting more traction,
good.
I think.
I
so,
like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want it to be a repository of good questions and answers. And
yes.
Certainly I do a lot of questions every week, but my answers aren't enough. We want some of yours, too. TechGuyLabs.com. What did your view? This is a very strange thing.
So, I wasn't quite sure the purpose of it. I still am not sure about the purpose
of
it.
It's called the InReit Automatica Car Audio Streamer.
InReti is the company.
Okay.
And this is the Automatica.
Oh, you pronounce InReit InReti. I-N-R-E-T-E. I get it.
So, this connects to your car via USB. And provides audio through your car stereo interface, and actually have a recorded review.
All right, let's take a look.
Josh Wendish here for Before You Buy, and today I'm in my Honda Fit because I'm reviewing a product that's meant to be kept in your car. This is called Automatica, and what it's designed to do is store audio on here, so music, audiobooks, podcasts, and it's meant to keep them up to date, so keep them refreshed all the time, so when you get in the car, you just go. You just have all your fresh audio content, especially with podcasts that you subscribe to. They'll just be downloaded right here without having to connect to a computer. It all happens automatic. Now, how it does that is through Wi-Fi. So this actually has Wi-Fi in it. You connect it to your home network or whatever hotspots you have that you want to connect it to, and it downloads it that way. The actual device here is very simple. It's just a black rectangle. It has a few outputs on it, one of them being HDMI, which I'm not quite sure what that's for. Automatica says it's for future updates, so we'll have to stay tuned and find out what happens to that. It comes with 2 gigs of internal storage, but you can expand that with this SD card slot right here. And it has a port here for power, which unfortunately, the device does not have a battery inside it. So you actually have to buy a separate power connection kit. Otherwise, when you shut your car off at night, the device shuts off too, which is unfortunate because it won't keep your data up to date. It won't keep it refreshed if there's no power to the device. Now, it connects to your car stereo with USB. So most newer cars have USB with the car stereo. So if you've got a newer car, you're all set. Or if you have an aftermarket stereo, a lot of those have it too. This is designed to work just with your car interface. So you don't have to mess with a phone. You don't have any of that to deal with. You're just basically navigating through your content on this with your car's stereo. For some people, that's a good thing. For some people, not necessarily so. My car stereo only has one line, essentially, of text that I can read, and it won't even complete it. But, you know, if you have a larger screen display in your car, this may be better suited for that. Setting up the device is straightforward, but I did run into some problems, particularly with setting up Wi-Fi. I had a real problem with getting errors that I couldn't explain and I couldn't seem to fix. After a lot of configuring and messing with it, I was able to get it to connect to a Wi-Fi hotspot. But again, since the device doesn't tell you that it's connected to Wi-Fi, there's no way to know unless you're using the software and you can see it on there. Once you've got it all set up, you're basically using this through the web interface. So you'll have an account with Automatica at automaticaweb.com. And the login, the actual web interface, is really easy to use. You can search for podcasts that way. They have a pretty large directory that you can go through. They also suggest podcasts to you. Setting it up with music is great, too, because you can just use one of the many cloud services that it supports, including Microsoft SkyDrive, Google Drive, Dropbox, and Box. And you'll just set up a folder that you can put music into, and then you'll be able to keep your music up to date that way. On to the pros and cons. First, the pros. It's small and easy to hide away. So if you've got a glove box, you can put this in. That works perfect. The web interface is simple and straightforward, and it works with several cloud services. The cons, there's no battery inside the device. So unfortunately, when you shut the car off, Automatica shuts off too, and it can't keep your podcast and music refreshed unless you buy a power kit that's sold from Automatica on their website separately. There's no way to tell if it's connected to Wi-Fi, and it doesn't consistently work. So it doesn't consistently keep things refreshed on here, and it takes a long time to sync those things down. So all in all, the Automatica, I get the idea behind it. You don't have to fumble with a phone while driving. You're just using your car's stereo interface to use it. And it's meant to just automatically keep content on it, which is great in theory. It doesn't work that great, though, in actual practice, and at least not with my use of it. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to give this a don't buy. I'm Josh Wendish with the Automatica for Before You Buy.
Thank you, Josh. So it sounds like this is a very specialized product for somebody who has a very unusual need.
Yeah.
Because if you have a smartphone, you could do everything, right?
Exactly. So if you've got a smartphone, in my car at least, I can choose whether I want to use the smartphone's interface or my car stereo interface, and I can just hide my smartphone away. Or if I have an old iPhone, which I do, that has Wi-Fi, I could use that, you know, instead, or an iPod with Wi-Fi. So for $100, I just don't see the need.
Now, some cars, like my Mustang, do have powered USB ports that stay on even if the car's turned out off. That would make this more useful.
Yes.
Because at least it would always be on.
If it would stay connected. Now, I did also have problems connecting to Wi-Fi. So, and there's no way to tell on the actual device if it's connected.
Right.
So that it was just a frustrating experience.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
All right. Not worth it. Thank you. Josh Windisch, producer of TechGuyLabs.com. We're going to go over to the other side of the room in just a little bit to talk to Shannon about her new Acer. You know, I got the 13-inch. We've had a review of the 13-inch from Father Robert Ballister, but Shannon has the S7 11-inch, the little baby one, and we'll take a look at that. Also, Robert is here with something to review, but I got to talk a little bit about this. This is not a review. This is just a you will love it for stamps.com. This is the stamps.com scale I'm holding up. It allows you... Plugs in via USB. Now, this is so easy. This is a USB device that works. No batteries or anything. You just plug it into the USB. You plop your letter or package on there. And Stamps.com will always print out exactly the right postage. Because you see, with Stamps.com, you're buying and printing real U.S. postage directly from your computer and your printer, Mac or PC. Stamps.com is a really good tip for anybody who's a pro mailer. If you do a lot of fulfillment, you're going to love Stamps.com. It saves you time because you don't have to ever go to the post office to buy stamps or even to you know, mail packages. It saves you money because you get discounts you can't get at the post office, up to 21% on express mail, up to 15% on priority mail. And it makes your life easier. It even fills out forms, takes the addresses directly from your address book, QuickBooks, or Amazon, or Etsy, or eBay, or PayPal if you're a seller on those pages. It'll email tracking links if you use priority mail or express mail right to your recipient. Right now, I got a very good no-risk trial offer you might want to check out. Visit stamps.com. Don't click the special offer on the front there. That's only $80. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner where it says, Podcast Listeners, click here and enter before you buy. All one word, before you buy. Press go, and that $80 value becomes a $110 bonus offer. $55 in free postage you can use over your first few months as a stamps.com user. You get the digital scale. You get a supply kit. You even get a month of stamps.com free. Stamps.com. Use our offer code before you buy. And the next time you're doing any mailing, you'll be ready. All right, I'm going to leave my stamps.com scale there, but I am going to take my Acer S7 because we're going to walk over and say hello to Shannon Morse, the producer of Before You Buy. Ah, you make me do exercise, Shannon. It's not good. I'm walking Gova. Shannon is looking for a Windows 8 laptop, right?
Yes, I am.
We'd throw some at her. Hey, it's Father Robert Ballister, digital Jesuit.
Hi.
He's also here. In fact, Robert's got his Acer S7 in his lap. I've got my Acer. This is like an Acer S7 convention.
It's a party.
I first became aware of this Windows 8 laptop because of Robert, and I fell in love with it, and I've been using it. But we thought, you're looking for a Windows 8 laptop.
I am, yeah. I've been on the search for, like, the perfect one. I bought a couple and returned them because
really?
I didn't like them. Yeah, unfortunately.
So you decided that you didn't want the hefty 13-inch. You're going for the...
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to try the little 11-inch because we haven't even had that one on the show yet.
It's really cute.
It's really, really cute. And it's very small, 11.2 inches by 7 inches wide. And it's super skinny, just like the other one, the 13-inch. Isn't that nice?
No, it's a different cover, though.
It is, yes. This one is aluminum.
It's brushed aluminum. And it looks beautiful.
Instead of the white. I prefer
so, you know what? I do, too.
White.
And look at the fingerprints this picks up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
compared exactly. to that beautiful brushed aluminum.
This
man.
This is nice. Yeah, it's really,
that's a
really
selling
pretty.
Point right there.
Now, when I open
what's the
it
resolution
up,
of the screen?
Now, that's one of my biggies about this. So, it's a nice resolution. It's the 1920 by 1080.
What? Resolution. You have the same resolution on there that I have on here.
I seriously do. So, check this out. I have it on 1600 by 900, or, yes. Yeah,
you don't use it at full resolution. Is it too high resolution for
if
you?
If I pull it up, let me apply that.
That's
look
one thing
how
tiny
I, that is.
That's one thing
it
I found is, with Windows is that
oh
sometimes...
My gosh.
That's too small.
It's too small for the touchscreen.
Yeah.
Exactly. So with this 11.6-inch screen, it is way too small for that huge resolution. It's great that it doesn't have a lip, though. Whenever you use this, the touchscreen, if I go back here, It's nice that there is no lips, so you don't have any problems pulling things over.
And you do that a lot on Windows 8. You're sliding in from the left and right all the time.
Yeah, so the bezel is not an issue at all. It has a really, really nice quality sound. It has the Dolby Home Theater in
it. I was impressed by the sound. I mean, they're small speakers. It's not. Don't think it's going to fill the room, but it does sound pretty good.
The webcam's a little iffy. It's only 1.3 megapixels, so it's kind of tiny, but, you know, it works fine for Skype calls or whatever. It's pretty general. The specs are very similar to the 13-inch one, obviously. So it's the i5 CPU, the newest generation one of those. It has 4 gigs of memory and 128 gigs solid-state drive. And Father Robert actually mentioned to me that it is a RAID?
They did a weird thing on this one. This is 256 gigs, and it's dual drives that are in RAID 0 mode, scary RAID, to look like one drive.
They have a single card, so it looks like an mSATA drive, but it's got an SSD on each side.
And they're even on the 128 gig they're doing
that. They do it with 64 gigabytes.
Interesting.
I found that to be really interesting that they did that in all of their S7.
You don't see it. I mean, there's no way you could know unless you used a low-level disk tool and you said, hey, wait a minute, there's two drives.
Yeah, exactly. They don't even really mention it on the
website. But that's why it starts up so quickly.
Well, I was just about to show that, but as you were talking, it started up. So it's about a 9-second boot time on this thing. How about that? Same thing?
Same thing. Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Extremely fast.
And of course, restart from sleep is even faster. It's virtually instantaneous. That's, of course, because of Windows 8 and power management now and the new Intel Ivy Bridge.
It's very nice.
So that is pretty great. So you have the same result on the 11-inch.
Oh, yeah. It boots incredibly fast. It's got a nice bright screen. It also has all the different ports that you'd expect. It has your USB 3.0 powers on
the side. I love USB 3, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
That kind of makes up for the lack of drive space.
Another one over here.
Because you can get a USB 3 thumb drive or external drive, and it's so fast, it almost feels like it's an internal drive.
Yes, exactly. And then it's got the micro HDMI right here, so you can use it with a dual monitor.
We should point out, these are fan ports, so there is a fan on this, but boy, it's not very loud.
Now, another thing to point out as well with the hardware is it doesn't bend all the way back
like mine
the 13-inch does.
But I can't think of a single reason why I would want to use a laptop that does that.
That is something to point out. If you get the 11-inch, don't bend it all the way back.
Yeah, don't think you can. And they say is, because you can't flip this around, is that you could be sitting on one side and say, well, here, let me show you, and it'd be upside. I don't really see the point of that, frankly.
I don't really either, but it's one thing to point out that is different.
Does not do that. Okay.
The keyboard is nice as well. I noticed it's kind of soft, and I believe that's something that Acer is just known for. When I first started using this, it was hard for me to tell that I was actually typing on it.
I mistype a lot on this keyboard.
Yeah. Me too. And so that was just something I had to get used to.
It's a short key press. It doesn't
go
very deep.
It's very short and it's very soft. So
I make a lot of
really
mistakes.
You can't really feel the responsiveness of it. Yep. So my pros and cons for this little guy are I really like that it's backlit on the keyboard, even though it's not very as responsive as I would like. The touchscreen is very responsive, though. I really like the touchscreen.
Isn't it a beautiful screen?
Nice.
And I can't believe in an 11-inch laptop, you've got 1920 by 1080.
It's way too big for me.
It makes the icons and texts almost too small.
It does.
And as of yet, Windows 8 doesn't really have a lot of fine control over how big icons are.
Yeah.
So you just end up running it at a lower resolution.
I completely agree.
that's too bad in a way that you have to do that.
I turned down the resolution. Yeah.
How heavy? Let me just.
It's only 2.6 pounds.
2.6. I mean, that's one of the things I like about this. This is probably the thinnest and lightest.
Than the 13-inch.
These are the thinnest and lightest Windows 8 devices out there, I think. They're
super
really, really nice.
It's so nice. We could just, start juggling. It's great.
Have an S7.
Oh, no, I don't. This is a serve tray. That's what this is. It's a serving tray.
Yeah, it's a serving tray.
Okay. Did you have any cons?
I did. I had a couple of cons. It's the resolution, I find, is a problem when it's so high.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a good thing. It's so high, it's hard to see.
Well, they're phones with small screens that have that resolution.
That's true, so it's kind of, it's almost like Retina on an Acer.
Yeah.
And then the design, I had a couple of small issues with. Micro HDMI instead of full, which I guess they put in because of the...
There's no room for
it. ...tiny width of this.
Yeah.
And also the power button on the side. Just like you said, Father Robert, with your review, it is very easy
to
press this.
Yeah.
I did. I did it once, and then I learned from my mistake.
Do not.
I also noticed the lip is a little tough to get up, but it's not a big issue.
Now, this is cheaper. What are the prices?
Well, you would
on
think
this?
It was. So let me show
not?
You. Yeah, let me show you the website.
Oh, that's funny. Maybe you just buy it because you want it to be small.
Yeah, so
and not
I
because
think
you're going
to
save money.
If you wanted to purchase this, you would get it because of the size.
It's $1,149.
This one is $1,149 on the website,
and that's the i5
version. This is the i5. Okay. So with the exact same specs for the 13-inch, you go from $1,099 on Amazon to $1,099 for the 13.
Same price. Really, it's no cheaper. It's just a different screen size for the people who want a smaller screen.
So if battery I wanted life? To choose, the battery life is excellent. It's like 6 hours maximum.
That's a little better, actually, than the big boy.
Right. Yeah, and that's what pretty average user base. If I'm using this a lot during the day, it cuts down to like 4 hours.
Now, the big boy comes for the price with two additional connectors. It has an Ethernet to USB connector. It has to, because there's no Ethernet port on this. Micro HDMI to VGA, it looks like.
Yes,
is it digital VGA
too,
or is it must be digital VGA?
I found that weird. I would rather
who wants
micro
that?
HDMI to the regular
HDMI. Yeah.
And it also comes with a mouse and a nice little external battery.
I did like that.
3 hours.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, okay. This one comes with an external battery.
Do we get that?
A nice little screw on one.
You've got one of those, but you had to pay extra for it, didn't you, Father?
These are rare. You can't actually buy these yet.
So that is a reason to get the 11-inch.
Yeah, it does.
And how much more battery life does that external?
About like 2-3 hours.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't get those for the 11 or the 13-inch.
And it's nice. It's a little screw-on one. It is big and bulky, which is why I didn't bring
it out. I tend not
here.
To use those. So, I just say, it's time to go to bed.
I find myself not using it. I just left it in the package.
It's time to stop playing SimCity and go
and
to bed.
And it's got a nice little cheapo mouse that comes with it. And it also comes with a nice leather case that fits this perfectly.
Leather, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's real leather.
Leather, yes.
Yeah. I like the mouse because it comes bonded. It's, I guess, a USB mouse, but it already comes bonded to the laptop, so it's ready to go right away.
Yeah.
So there's three different pointing devices on here. There's a touch screen, there's a trackpad, and you have a USB real mouse. I think that's a nice touch from Acer.
It is.
So buy, try, don't buy?
So I give it a try specifically because for some people this might not be what they're looking for with
because of the screen.
Size. Yeah. Because of the screen, I'd say upgrade to the other one that costs the same amount on Amazon.
You know, it's funny because I had an 11-inch MacBook Air and a 13-inch MacBook Air. Same exact situation, and I ended up preferring the 13-inch because 11 was just a little too small.
Me too, yeah.
But the difference on that is the MacBook Air 11-inch is a much lower screen resolution. You're getting all the screen real estate on there.
Yes,
just
you
a
are.
Very tiny package. Well, let's trade, and let me just try that for a little
bit. Yeah, let me just hold on to this one, and I'll go home.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I don't mind this, actually. You have to have very good eyes. Hey, I noticed you've got Audible.com up there.
I do have Audible. You know, I was shopping.
Are you looking for something to read?
I am. I just found something. Vampire Academy. Good book.
Oh, you're into vampires.
Yeah,
you're part of Bike Club, aren't you? Are you in the Bike Club?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I thought you were. Audible is a great place to go to get audiobooks. Audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy is the place to go to get an audiobook for free. You'll be signing up for the Gold account. That's the book a month account. Your first month's free. Your first book is free. If you cancel before those 30 days are up, you get to keep the book forevermore and pay not a penny. However, I suspect you're going to want to stay an Audible listener. When I fly, when I drive, when I'm on the Stairmaster or the rowing machine, when I'm doing the dishes or walking the dog, I've always got Audible playing in my head. Have you tried the new Metro app for Audible?
No, I haven't.
It's on Windows 8. It's great. Audible's updated all of its apps for that new clean look. Oh, I just love Audible. Give it a try today. Audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. And we thank them for their support of Before You Buy. I could get used to this. I'm almost now sad that I didn't get it.
Well, good. You want to trade?
But did you buy this?
No.
No, see, I bought that one. If I trade, then I'm going to have to send this back, and you'll get to keep my computer.
I was kind of hoping you wouldn't notice that part.
Shannon Morse Snubs produces the show, but she also does a security show called ThreatWire.
I do. And I just started full-time here.
And you're a full-time. I don't understand how that all works, but you're working two full-time jobs. ThreatWire is on TechFeed at youtube.com/TechFeed. Mm-hmm. And yes, and we're going to find more places for you to do shows.
Oh, yeah. I've started thinking of ideas
for
shows.
Maybe a Windows 8 show.
Yeah, maybe.
You got that laptop. So do you think you're going to end up buying this one or another one?
I think I'm going to buy the 13-inch after I pay for my taxes.
I love the S7.
It's nice.
We ought to thank Father Robert Ballister for that recommendation. But I agree with you. I wish we had the brushed aluminum.
Yeah.
It seems like they include the brushed aluminum and the extended battery. What's the deal?
Well, they understand that unit is a little handicapped compared to the 13-inch, so they have to give it a couple of advantages.
It's got some nice features, yeah.
A few perks.
Yeah. All right. Robert is the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech. He's the digital Jesuit, and he stops by from time to time to review products for us. What is that you got there?
This is a solar recharging kit from Goal Zero. It's called the Switch 8, and it combines a USB battery with a solar charger.
Let's take a look.
I'm Father Robert Ballasaire, the digital Jesuit, host of TWiET, This Week in Enterprise Tech on the TWiT Network. And I'm taking a look at the Goal Zero Switch 8 solar recharging kit. Combining a rechargeable battery with a pocket-sized solar panel, the Goal Zero Switch 8 recharger kit is a mobile power pack designed for the average geek who wants a rugged charging system that can last brief stints off the grid. Acting as its own carrying case, the Switch 8 combines a pair of monocrystalline solar panels with a charging stick in a package that measures 5 inches by 5 inches by 1 inch thick and less than a pound heavy. The panels are tough, designed for the outdoorsman and able to withstand some serious punishment. The package integrates a series of loops to allow the user to hang the panels in the best orientation to capture the sun. Together, the panels can supply 3.5 watts of power in direct sunlight. The heart of the Switch 8 is a ruggedized 2200 milliamp hour rechargeable battery that is clad in aluminum to protect it while on the go. One end of the battery has a flip-out USB connector for charging the unit, while the other end has a standard USB port into which you plug your USB devices. A small button to the top of the cylinder activates a series of LEDs that lets you easily check the current charge state of the Switch 8. Using the Switch 8 recharger kit is simple. The battery can be recharged from any USB port in about 4 hours and then used to extend the life of your USB-powered gadgets. If you'll be away from a ready USB power source, you can use the solar panels to charge the battery in as little as 6 hours. The blinking LEDs let you know how far you have to go before the Switch 8 is full and how much juice is left in the pack. Goal Zero includes a short extension cable to enable easier hookup to your chosen power source. Over the course of a month, I used the Switch 8 recharging kit to power gadgets and gizmos using both external USB power and the solar panels to top off the charge. I found the Switch 8 to be portable, durable, reliable, and more than a little geek chic. It's a fine accessory for owners of phones, media players, or other essential USB gear. The Goal Zero Switch 8 recharger kit is available now. You can find it online for about $90. I'm a fan of well-designed tech, and the Goal Zero Switch 8 solar recharging kit is very well-designed tech. So let's look at the pros. The first pro is that, yes, it is a solar recharging kit, but Goal Zero was smart enough to make this charging unit a separate battery. That means that most of the time, I won't be carrying around the solar charger. In fact, I'll keep this in the back to make sure that I have something when I'm camping or when I'm off the grid. But most of the time, I will be charging this off my laptop, off my wall outlet, off my other USB charging device. And then I'll use this to top off my phones, my MP3 players, my mobile devices. I like that proactive styling. The second pro has to be the actual design of the kit. This thing is tough. It's bulletproof. I've seen people jump up and down on these solar panels, and I've actually dropped this without even scratching the case. They understand that people are going to be putting their technology into difficult circumstances, and so they made sure it was ruggedized enough to survive the occasional drop or bump or drowning. Again, very cool tech. The third thing that I like about this is, well, the fact that it's just so simple to use. Everyone understands how this connector works. This flips out and you either use the direct connection or an extension to plug it into your laptop or into that charger or into the solar charger. Now, when I look at the cons, pretty much the only thing I can think of is that I wish there was a bit more power in the power pack. At 2200 milliamp hours, I've seen power packs just a little bit bigger than this that have 2 to 3 times the power density. It would have been nice to have a bit more power to go when I want to go. Now, looking at the Goal Zero Switch 8 solar recharging kit, if I wanted to assign a buy, try, or don't buy, I'd say that the Goal Zero Switch 8 is a definite buy. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire. This is the Goal Zero Switch 8 solar recharging kit. And this has been Before You Buy.
And as Red Link says, it looks just like the sonic screwdriver. Another,
it really does.
Another reason.
What if I could make it to make that noise?
The only problem I've always had with solar charging panels is they just don't generate a lot of juice.
Right.
So
right.
How long does it take to charge up that whole battery?
So if you were in the direct sunlight, yeah. It's 6 hours.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah. So I mean,
it's more efficient than I'd expect.
Right. They've actually changed the way that they've made the cells so that even partial shade won't really kill your efficiency. But in typical sun, I mean, it's going to take a full 12 hours to give you a full pack.
I used to have a little thing that you hang in the windshield of your car to charge your phone. It'd take 4 days to charge that thing up so that you could charge your phone. It just didn't make any sense. Yeah.
But they've really designed this thing so that you charge it when you have power.
Right.
And then this is just like if you go camping or right. If you do want to top it off.
Top it off, yeah.
Right, right.
Robert Ballister is the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech, a really great show if you're interested in IT or enterprise technology. That's Mondays, 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. 2000 UTC on twit.tv. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see you. I guess you're moving out onto the West Coast?
I am moving in September. I will actually be in San Francisco. So
we'll see more of you.
Well, hopefully you'll see more of
you. Oh, I'm so happy. We're thinking of other shows you could do.
Yes, yes.
I think there's some other stuff we could put you to work on. So that's great. I'm really happy about that. Thank you for joining us on Before You Buy. If you want to know more about any of these products, we put individual reviews and the whole show up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. Tell your friends. You know, if you're saying, hey, Mom, maybe you'd like this S7, you could say, go to the review, see what Shannon said about it, that kind of thing. We really appreciate it if you do that. You can also suggest products for review. Good Lord, we have, is that, how many subscribers? 2,681. Yeah. You can, that's great. More subscribers, please. Go to Before You Buy and subscribe. You can email us at byb@twit.tv. That goes right into Shannon's inbox.
I read every single email.
She's always looking for other things that people want us to review. Mm-hmm. I have the Barnes & Noble Nook. I'm going to review that. I'm going to give the popcorn hour over to Iaz. He can review that. And next week, and I'm actually really excited about this, we have the Samsung Chromebook.
Ah, yes.
The less expensive one, not the Pixel. Expensive. Are you working on the Pixel?
I am, yeah. All right.
There'll be a fight around here for that, to review that. Thanks for joining us. I hope you come back again when we do this show. It's every Tuesday, about 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's around pretty late, like 1 or 2 in the morning UTC on twit.tv. But, you know, that's why we make the on-demand available on YouTube and on twit.tv/BYB. We'll see you next time. Remember, you got to watch before you buy. Take care.